Amen. Good to be in the house of God. Amen. Enjoyed that good singing this morning. The last Sunday of 2017. I want to bring a thought this morning that's been on my heart. Resolution of a Godly Man is the title. But you know, this is the time of the year where a lot of people, and I'm going to have to pull this down here, so I don't start. Y'all didn't let me do that. They said they were going to vote in the deacon's meeting that one Sunday that I couldn't preach if I didn't wear camo. I told my wife I was going to make out a will that if she didn't bury me in camo, she didn't get nothing. And I'll pull that down so I can breathe. But you know, this is the time of the year when people are making New Year's resolutions. All over the world, all over the country, you hear about it on the radio, people are talking about it. Different resolutions, resolutions to do different things. Resolutions, sometimes, you know, you hear this. I mean, I went to the doctor right before Christmas. He told me that I was not supposed to enjoy the holidays. Told me what I couldn't eat. He started talking about, you know, they got all this stuff back here right now. They're having these parties. He said, but I'm not eating that stuff. And I thought, you're stronger than I am. But you know, a lot of times resolution after the holidays is I'm going to drop a few pounds. That's a resolution. Well, that's good. Sometimes people have a resolution about life. I've heard people say things like, you know, I'm going to have a resolution that I'm going to do better this year. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to stop this or I'm going to do that. You hear it and you think about it. Now, what is a resolution? And I just want to give you just a little bit of foundation, of definitions here. Or you might say, what is resolve? Or what does it mean to have resolve? Well, people are trying to make these resolutions. Well, by definition, the word resolution is a firm decision to do or not to do something. Then the word resolve, it means to decide firmly on a course of action, to make up one's mind, and to make a decision. You know, as I begin to think about that, and I thought about this time of the year and what God would have us to have today to say, I thought about this scripture in the book of Joshua. Because you get a godly picture of resolve or what it means to have godly resolve when you look at the scripture and you look at the life of Joshua. So I want to read in Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter number 24. I want to read the 14th and the 15th verse. And I want you to listen to these words and think about this resolution or this resolve that Joshua has. He begins in this chapter to speak to the people and to basically make a farewell address to them. You see, Joshua had served the Lord for years and had come basically to the end of his life, and the people of Israel were at peace before God. Their enemies had been defeated, and they had come to the point that they were resting in the blessings of the Lord. And as he speaks to the people and he stands before them, he begins to remind them of how good that God has been to them. He reminds them of how God had led them out of the land of Egypt and how that God had blessed them when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. How that when they went and they did finally decide to follow the Lord and cross the Jordan and they came up to Jericho because they obeyed God and they listened to God and they finally were ready to do the will of God and they marched around that city 7 times, the walls fell down flat. Now folks, you can read the Bible or you can believe it for what it is, and I do, but you can study it historically and you can find out that there was something very unique about the destruction of Jericho, and archaeological discoveries prove it, that the walls of Jericho fell down flat, just like the Bible said, so that the people could easily march right up over them and take the city. He begins to remind them about the blessings of the Lord, and this is what he says. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood or the great river. Remember when God parted the waters. And all of the children of Israel went through on dry ground. But when the armies of Pharaoh came in behind them, God sent confusion. The wheels of the chariots came off and they were not able to pursue them. God delivered them. Then they came down to the Jordan, and what did God do? God made a way again. They come down to the waters of Marah that were bitter, and what did God do? God made a way again. When they were hungry and they needed flesh, God sent that among them. When they murmured after eating angels' food, He said, remember, remember that when you served the gods on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell now, the place that God had put them. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, folks, that is a resolution. Here's what he's saying. It's a firm decision to do or not to do something. He said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, you choose whoever you're going to serve. He said, if you want to serve the Lord, you serve Him. If you want to serve the gods in Egypt, you serve them. If you want to serve the gods in the land that we're in now, different gods, you serve them. He said, but as for me, he said, I'm going to serve the Lord. I made my decision. It's a firm decision. And here's what he said. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter whether you follow the Lord or not. It doesn't matter whether you obey the Lord or not. I'm going to follow the Lord. Now, when you listen to this resolution that Joshua is making, here's what I want you to realize. He had already been through something very similar to this once before. You see, he had already proven this before, and now he was proclaiming it before the people. And as he proclaimed it before the people, and he began to remind them of all the blessings of God, what he was trying to do is to prevent something from happening to them that had already happened to the people. And I want to go back for just a little bit and look at the history of Joshua to show you the strength of this resolution, that it was not something that was new in his life, and show you the impact that it has when you do make a resolution to follow God versus when you do not. You see, I can't read all of this, so I'm going to kind of try to walk through the scripture with you. But if you go back, if you flip your Bible to Numbers chapter number 13, you see, in the book of Numbers, chapter number 13, this is when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they got over there to the banks of the Jordan. And Moses chose one man for each of the 12 tribes. And said, I'm going to send you 12 men as a group. And you go in and you explore the land. And you see what's there. And you see whether it be God that's led us here to take this land. These 12 men were sent by the Lord, and they were sent in to spy the land. Now one man for a tribe, and among these were Hoshea, whom Moses called Jehoshua, and the other that was there that we know is Caleb. You see, they went into this land, 12 of them, and when they got into the land, they found that the land was very, very fruitful. In fact, it was so fruitful that there is a verse that talks about they saw a grapevine, and it was so fruitful that they picked a cluster of grapes, and they had to bear it upon a rod between two men's shoulders. Now, they get into this place, and they see how fruitful it is, but while they're there, they realize, yes, this land does flow with milk and honey, and it is beautiful, and it is great. But the men started looking around at what was going on. They saw the fenced and the walled cities, and they saw how great the people of the land were. And in this place, they saw the children of Anak, who were giants in the land. You see, if you study through your Bible and you study your Old Testament, you find that Goliath was not the only giant. In fact, there were giants that the children of Israel fought in several places. And they said when they saw them, they said that we are but grasshoppers in their sight. Now, here's what I want us to realize and understand as children of God. God sometimes takes us to a place that the only place, the way we can walk is by faith. And they got over there and they were looking around at what was going on and they begin to see it. And they come back before Moses. And they said, we cannot take this place. We can't take this land. We can't defeat this enemy. They're too great. There are too many of them. And they begin to murmur and they begin to complain before the Lord. And they said, we should have just stayed in Egypt. Maybe we should have just died in the desert. And they said, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Now here's what the children of Israel did. They began to seek out and search for themselves a captain. And they said, we're not going to follow Moses anymore. We're going back to Egypt. But you know what Joshua did? He stepped up and he said, stop. Stop. Don't you realize that God has brought us to this place for a reason? God has not brought us here to leave us alone. And just because there's an enemy that seems great, just because there are mountains that need to be climbed, just because there are things that are ahead of us that look too great for us, they may be too great for us, but they're not too great for our God. And as Joshua and Caleb both begin to proclaim how great God was, listen to what they said in Joshua chapter number 14, verse 8 and 9. The scripture says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense city is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Once heard a great preacher say the greatest aspect or thing that a church needs to be known by is its faith. Amen. And here's Joshua and Caleb saying, all we have to do is believe God. But the people rejected the words of Joshua and Caleb. And here's what they said. In the 10th verse, it says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. So here you see the children of Israel listening to the 10 spies that said, we cannot take the land. And Joshua and Caleb are saying, don't you remember? Don't you remember when we were there by the banks of the river and God sent a cloud, a pillar of a cloud that separated between us and the armies of Egypt. And we could hear them behind the cloud, but there was confusion and they couldn't come near to where we were. Don't you remember when God sent the east wind all night and it departed the waters and all of us, even to the weak, even to our children, even to our sick ones, was able to go through to the other side safe? And when the children of Israel made it across, don't you remember how that when the Egyptians came in behind us, they couldn't harm us? Don't you remember how when we were down near the waters of Marah and it was bitter, God made it sweet for us? Don't you remember how God's blessed us? But they said, no, we're not going to listen to you, Joshua. We're not going to listen to you, Caleb. And the people began to murmur. And the murmuring, it displeased the Lord. And because of the blessing of God had been poured on them and they rejected the Lord, then punishment came. You see, the children of Israel at this time were right on the brink of receiving everything that God had for them. You see, they could have obeyed God and listened to God and believed God and at that time marched into that land that God had already given them. But because of their rebellion, because of their rejection, they were turned back into the wilderness and they wandered for 40 years. 1 year for a day, for every day that they searched out the land. And all of the people, except for Joshua and Caleb, died from the age of 20 years old and upward. You see, what God decided, he was so angry at the children of Israel at the time, he looked at Joshua and Caleb. He said, I'm going to wipe out all of these rebellious generation, and I'm going to raise me up a generation from you. And you know what Moses did? This is a picture of Christ. He stood before God, and he pleaded as an intercessor between God and the people, and he said, God, don't do that. He was pleading for mercy. You know that's what Jesus Christ has done for us? He stood between God and heaven, and he's pled for mercy for his people. And Moses is a picture of Christ here as he pleads. And he says, Lord, don't do that, lest your enemies say that you led your children out of Egypt and you were not able to take them into the land. Let me tell you something. God wants to do something great in your life. All you have to do is follow him. And as God looks down, he says, 40 years. 20 years old and up. Let me tell you something, young people. God's got to work for you. Let me tell you something, and I thank God for this church, and I've said this before, and it fits right here. Thank God for the retired people at Hiram First Baptist Church. You beat Miss Gate. You outwork any paid staff I've ever seen, okay? Thank God for that. But what's going to happen when you don't obey? There are things that God wants done. And he said, I'm going to have it done, but it was delayed for 40 years because they would not obey God. And the 10 spies that did not believe, that stood before the people, that said, let's stone Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says that they died of the plague before the Lord. So let's read it again. See, Joshua had already been through this. He had already stood before the people and he'd already said, I have decided to follow Jesus. It says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, when Joshua spoke the first time, he spoke with resolve. When Joshua spoke the second time, he spoke with great resolve. He had firmly and completely made his decision. And here's what I want you to understand in Joshua chapter number 14. Made his decision in spite of all that he had faced. You see, when we understand and look at this scripture and we realize that Joshua was leading an army of young people. An army of young people that from the age of 20 years old and upward had passed away. They had wandered for 40 years. The absolute oldest that anyone could have been in his congregation was 59 years old. All the way down to the little babies. And as he led them, and he saw, wandering in the wilderness, grave after grave, loss after loss. You see, Joshua followed the Lord, and here's something about Joshua you may not realize. Joshua faced many betrayals. You see, when he stood before the people and he was telling them how good God was and what God had done, the people were screaming, "We can't take Jericho. We can't defeat the Amorites. We can't defeat the Hittites. There are giants in the land and we're small before them, and what's before us is so great that we can't take it." Church, I want to tell you something. If God wants us to do something, he'll open a door for us to do it. Amen. And we just got to believe it and get behind him and follow him and trust him and realize that he's God and we're not, because if we could figure it out, it would not be God that was doing it. Did you get that? If we could figure it out, it would not be God that's doing it. He faced betrayals, friends, people that loved him, maybe that one time he thought was close to him, were holding stones. And I just about see him pick the stones up as Moses stepped and does this. You ever done that? There's been times I'll be off somewhere, and if I got my boys with me and I see a difficult situation, or I've got my wife with me or my family with me, first thing I do. You ever been somewhere and have a growling, barking dog come running out? I tell you what I do, Brother Billy. I get between that dog and the ones that I love. Amen. And Moses is a picture of the intercessor here. I can just see him doing this with Joshua. And Joshua's looking around as his heart breaks. And he sees people that at one time said, I love you. One time said, I support you. One time said, I'll follow you. Sometimes what people need to do is find where God's at and just obey God. He faced betrayals. He had things come against him, trying to get him to change. So many times things come against us, especially in the day and time that you and I live in, trying to get us to be like somebody else. Let me tell you something, church. God has not changed. God is not going to change. Just because we live in, can you believe it's 2017? I thought we'd be flying in spaceships by now, Brother Billy. Y'all still driving cars, right? Sometimes people say, well, it's changed. I can remember one time I was working on a job site over on north side of Atlanta, and it was one of those, I'm not going to give you the name, but it's not Baptist. And I was working on this church, and there was a guy had quit his job to work on the church, and they were working on it, and I thought that's admirable until I started talking to this guy. And he started trying to tell me, and you know, he said, God, and it was 1985. I'm an antique. He said, God did not walk in 1985. He said, you see, if Jesus were here today, he'd probably do this. If Jesus were here, he'd probably do that. It'd be different. It's kind of like sometime, and I heard a pastor of a very, very big church not that long ago, I think it was just sometime in 2017, he said right here, and he pointed to some scripture in the New Testament, he said, Paul got it wrong right here. Let me tell you something, folks. Paul didn't get it wrong. God didn't get it wrong. God didn't change. And the God of 1985 is not any different than the God that walked on this earth. He expects you and I to live according to the scripture, to walk according to it, and to believe it. And here's Joshua. He's standing there behind Moses looking at these people. I remember one time in a youth group, and I'll tell you something, folks, I know what the pressure's like, young people. Tell you a little secret. I thought when I got out of high school and I got away from all that peer pressure, it'd be real easy to serve God. Until I went to work on a construction site with a bunch of men that were like animals. I thought when I got away from them, brother, when I got away from that, it'd be better till I went to work in a corporate environment to where they said that if you want to succeed, you've got to conform. I tell you what you got to do. You got to make up your mind. You got to have resolve. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to trust Him no matter what. Amen. Remember one time we was in a youth group at Macklin Baptist Church, and there was a young lady. We were having testimony. She made this decision. She said, she stood up. She said, there's a lot of pressure to change. There's a lot of pressure to be like the world. She said, I had friends asking me why I wasn't like them, why I wasn't doing this, why I wasn't doing that. And she said, this is what I told them. It would be easy for me to be like you, but it would be harder for you to be like me. You see, Joshua standing here, and the only friend that he's got is Moses and Caleb at this point. And changes start happening. You see, the children of Israel, rather than going straight into the promised land, they turn and they go back into the wilderness. And for 40 years, do you know that God has blessings for you that you might have put on hold just because you're not being obedient? God wanted to do something with them. He wanted to take them into that land that He promised them from the beginning. But for 40 years, they suffered because they would not obey God. You know what happened for 40 years? For 40 years, Joshua suffered loss. You see, from 20 years old and upward, they all died. These did not have the resolve of Joshua, but these were under the judgment of God. And here's what I want you to also understand. These were Joshua's family, and these were Joshua's friends. You see, sometimes when you decide you're going to serve God, sometimes the suffering and the loss gets very, very close. You see, just because you decide to serve the Lord, it does not always mean that everybody around you is going to follow Him. And what you have to do is you have to decide as an individual, and this gets right down very, very close, man and wife. Let me tell you something. You serve God first. If God is not first in your life, He is nowhere in your life. And sometimes people say, well, if I serve the Lord, I'm not going to have anything. If you don't serve the Lord, that's when you don't have anything. Because if you're going to see anybody get saved, you're going to have to be real before God, and you're going to have to be real every day so that when people see you, and I asked a man one time, I said, if somebody saw what you had in your relationship with God, would anybody want it? But I'll tell you something, it hurts when it's your son, or it's your daddy, or it's your mother, or it's your friend. A person that you know, if they just obey God, if they just serve God. Have you ever thought, if I could just take the blessings of God, the goodness of God, and just pour it on somebody's head, it'd be like this bottle right here. I'd be standing at the doors, y'all come by. I'd just be giving it to everybody. But it doesn't. You got to decide. What did He say? He said, choose you, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Well, what about that me and my house? Well, what about His children? It's kind of like this. The Bible talks about a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his own wife. Now, they might be your children, but they're grown. They're grown. But when they're in your house, you're responsible for them. And it's kind of like this. I've heard people say, well, you know, where's little Jimmy this morning? Well, he didn't want to come. Well, little Jimmy's 14. He ought not have a choice. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I may not be the preacher y'all need, but you know, when they get old enough to make their own decisions, they're going to go live the way they want to live. But if they in my house, they're going to do right, or they ain't going to be there. Amen. They ain't going to be no teenagers telling me they ain't coming to church. You're going to get, I heard a man say one time when I was coming up, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church. I was drugged everywhere. Well, I'll tell you something. You drag them to church, maybe you won't have to deal with some of that other stuff. But don't let them tell you how to live in your house. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not having this in there. We're not having that in there. We're going to serve God. And y'all can decide what y'all going to do. But he had already faced betrayal. He had already suffered loss. He had already been hurt. But God was first in Joshua's life. See, here's what he did. He kept his resolve. You see, sometimes people start off okay, like Joshua. Could you imagine reading about Joshua and Moses standing down here and Joshua saying, oh yeah, we can do it. And you get over here 40 years later and he says, well, I don't know if we can do it or not. He's the same God. Same God. See, he kept his resolve. See, Joshua, along with Caleb, they lived those 40 years. Bible talks about one place that during that time, their shoes didn't even wear out. I heard a missionary one time come to church down there when we were at Grace Baptist Church, and he was talking about how God had blessed him. He wanted me to come out and look at the tires on his car. He said, I've been doing missionary work serving the Lord. He said, I have put 75,000 miles on that set of tires. And I looked at him, I thought, you sure you didn't change them? You know what he was telling me? He said, God is faithful to His word. When they were in the wilderness, their shoes didn't even wear out. God provided for them. God blessed them because God had a plan for them. Can I tell you, God has a plan for you. See, Joshua kept his resolve. For 40 years in the wilderness, he didn't quit. But he suffered the same judgment those people did. The negativity did not stop his resolve. The loss did not stop his resolve. In the book of Philippians, Paul said this. It goes right along with this scripture, chapter 3. in Philippians verse 13 and 14. Because Paul had this resolve. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You see, the negativity, the loss, the suffering, it did not stop his resolve. Why? Because the resolution of a godly man is to serve the Lord. As I begin to think about this, and I want to share just one more place of Scripture with you out of the book of Proverbs. And this is one of those places, I call these my life verses, and these are the verses that have sustained me when I was, I guess, at the lowest points of my life. When I felt like I was betrayed, when I felt like I was suffering the most loss, when I was having to make decisions about what I was going to do when I could not see anything. You see, it's easy to serve God when all your bills are paid. It's easy to come to church when your spouse is sitting beside you and y'all not fussing too bad before you get to church. It's easy to serve God when you look and your children are sitting in the youth group and you know where they're at, amen? But what about when they're off and you don't know where they're at? What about when you got a son or a daughter and you ain't heard from them in 6 months? What about when you got somebody that every time you come to the house of God, they want to make it difficult for you and say, you just want to go down there and be around those people again? Some of you may have heard that this week. These verses are the ones that helped me when I was at that point. It's in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5 and verse number 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." You see, if I were to tell you how to have godly resolve, it's in those two verses right there. What's the first one? To have godly resolve, I will trust in the Lord. I may not see it, I may not understand it, I may not know how everything's going to work out, but can I tell you something this morning, and I believe this, we must hold to this, even when you cannot see it, even when you cannot see God, even when you don't understand how things are going to work out, if you're His child, do you know that the Bible says that He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? That means He has not stopped working on you. His plan is not dead for you, but God has something for you. Even when you not cannot see it, you must believe and know that God is always at work. He says, "I will trust the Lord." Then the second part, "I will not lean to my own understanding." See, that's what we want to do. And my wife, she could get up here and she could preach on this, but I'm not going to let her. Let's just admit it, guys. Guys, we want to be in control, don't we? I want to control everything. I don't have a problem doing it as long as I can see it can be done. It's like this. I don't have a problem writing a check as long as I know exactly there's going to be that much plus some more. I don't have a problem getting involved if I know, if I know, if I know, if I know. My wife says, "Well, he's a control freak." You know what I got to do sometimes? And I've said this before, church, and this is the mindset that we need to have. We want God to do something around here. But when it's done, we can't say, "Look what we did." Amen. We can't say, "Well, I know now how that happened." But when it's done, we can say, did you literally see what God has done at Hiram First Baptist Church? See, when we get to the point that we cry out to God and we look up to Him and we say, "Lord, it's not my understanding. It's not about me. It's not what I know. But God, I want You to do something that's so great that when the world looks at my life, there's no way in the world anybody can get the glory, Lord, but You." Amen. Then He says this, "I will acknowledge the Lord and allow Him to guide me in all all my ways. That's in my home. That's in how I relate to my loved ones, to my children, to my family. It's in how I relate to my church. Lord, it's in how I serve. It's in how I work. Lord, it's in where I work. Lord, it's in my future. It's in my plans. It's in the decisions that I make. And I know we got to be careful that there is such a thing as beliefs and preferences and convictions. And folks, there are absolute moral absolutes for everybody. There are some. That hadn't changed. Well, I'll tell you this. What's the gauge? It's like this. Here's what you do. You ask yourself the question and the Holy Spirit will do the work. God, can I do this and it honor you? If you know the answer is no by what the Holy Spirit says to you, then you're not letting Him guide you in all your ways if you don't obey it. He said, I will acknowledge the Lord and allow Him to guide me in all my ways, and I will allow the Lord to direct my paths. Now here's what allowing God to direct your paths is about. I'm going to say this and we're going to have a song. If I get behind God, God is like a bulldozer. That direct your paths means to cut a path. There are times we go down to the woods and we'll take a bobcat down there. I like to get behind that thing, because he can just go right through those briars. He can push down those trees that, you know, I used to for years try to make a bulldozer out of my four-wheeler. It liked to kill me. But if I get behind that bobcat and he's going through there, it's like being behind the Lord. If God's got a plan and you know that you're in the will of God, let me tell you something. He will make a way of when there seems there is no way. He'll cut a path. See, if I'm going to have godly resolve, I take those two verses. People say, well, you know, sometimes people come to me and they say, I've read this book and I've read this book and I've read this book. I said, read this book. Amen. Nothing wrong with reading them other books. I tell you what, if we learn how to live by those two verses, we'll be godly. And that's all it'll take. I ask you to rise to your feet and I ask you a question. We've heard a story of a man who had godly resolve. And here's the resolve is this. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Question this morning is, do you need godly resolve? You know, the first thing to have godly resolve, you need to have God. You need to know Him as your personal Savior. And if you don't know Him, I tell you how simple it is. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to give any money for it. You don't have to do anything other than just come humbly and say, Lord, I want Him. You can do that where you're at. You can sit right where you're at and get saved. People get saved riding down the road. I know people got saved in their den, but there's nothing better to me than an altar where you can come and have people that love you, that have been right where you're at, to pray with you. Maybe you need the Lord to guide you in some way. You got decisions coming up about life in the next year, and you want the Lord to show you the way. I'll tell you how to get an answer. Ask Him. Ask Him. Bible says we have not in one place because we ask not. There's some times that I'll say, Lord, you know my heart. And He'll say, when's the last time you poured your heart out? See, do you look for, do you seek for the Lord's direction in the coming year? As we play this song, if you'd like to pray, the altars are open. If you don't know Christ, if there's anything you'd like to make a decision about this morning, would you please come and